Good morning, everybody. We're going to start off with a song that when Reverend John White came to visit, that he always used to sing. So we need your help and loud projected voices to help us with this song. And it's only three words, which is amen. So we can all do this. Crucified him, Jesus our Savior, and he rose on Easter.
Tough act to follow. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to second Sunday of Easter time, our lay Sunday. Thank you all for being here, and I certainly hope that you're going to enjoy what we have prepared for you today. Please take a couple minutes to review your bulletin and the announcements that are there. To the best of my knowledge, there really isn't anything new. Just want to draw special attention to Vacation Bible School. The dates have been set. It will be July 14th through 18th, and it will again be in the evening. So if you are able to help or teach or do anything towards the success of Vacation Bible School, please see BJ. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Welcome and let us worship with our first hymn, hymn number 225.
Rejoices, friends, on earth.
join together in the prayer of confession? Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you for giving us life. We praise you because you have the power to restore hope. Forgive us when we let our faith become weak. Remind us that your words are powerful. Help us to believe that our situations can improve. May we realize that you are sovereign. Teach us to place our trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take a moment for our personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Now let us unite with Christians around the world, many who are in Rome today, reciting the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment to say hello to everybody and greet God's family.
Good morning. I have a story for you today. And the first time I read this story, I realized that sometimes we see people the way Duncan looked at his crayons. And it isn't a good thing. So let me read to you about Duncan and his crayons. One day in class, Duncan went to take out his crayons and found a stack of letters with his name on them. Big stack of letters. Hey, Duncan, it's me, Red Crayon. We need to talk. You made me work harder than any of the other crayons. All year long, I could wear myself out coloring fire engines, apples, strawberries, and everything else that's red.
It's difficult.
That's right. Work on the holidays. I have to color all the Santas at Christmas and all the hearts on Valentine's Day. I need a rest. Your overworked friend, Red Crayon. Next letter said, Dear Duncan, all right, listen. I love that I'm your favorite crayon for grapes, dragons, and wizard hats, but it makes me crazy that so much of my gorgeous color goes outside the lines. If you don't start coloring inside the line soon, I'm going to completely lose you. Your very neat friend, Purple Crayon. Dear Duncan, I'm tired of being called light brown or dark tan because I am neither. I am beige, and I am proud of it. I'm also tired of being second place to Mr. Brown Crayon. It's not fair that Brown gets all the bears and ponies and puppies, while the only things I get are turkey dinners, if I'm lucky, and wheat. And let's be honest, when was the last time you saw a kid excited about coloring wheat? Your beige friend, Beige Crayon. Gray Crayon here. You're killing me. I know you love elephants, and I know that elephants are gray, and that's a lot of space to color in all by myself. And don't even get me started on rhinos, hippos, and humpback whales. You know how tired I am after handling one of those such big animals? Baby penguins are gray too, you know. And on very tiny rocks and pebbles. How about one of those once in a while to give me a break? Your very tired friend, Gray Crayon. Hey, Duncan. I hate being used to draw the outline of things. Things that are colored in by other colors. All of which think they're brighter than me. It's not fair when you use me to draw a nice beach ball and then fill in the colors of the ball with all the other colors. How about a black beach ball sometimes? Is that too much to ask your friend, Black Crayon? Dear Duncan, as Green Crayon, I am writing for two reasons. One is that I like my workloads of crocodiles, trees, dinosaurs, and frogs. I have no problems and wish to congratulate you on the very successful coloring things green career so far. The second reason I write is for my friends Yellow Crayon and Orange Crayon, who are no longer speaking to each other. Both crayons feel that they should be the color of the sun. Please settle this soon because they're driving the rest of us crazy. Your very happy friend, Green Crayon. Dear Duncan, it is great being your favorite color this past year, and the year before, and the year before that. I have really enjoyed all those oceans, lakes, rivers, raindrops, rain clouds, and clear skies. But the bad news is that I'm so short and stubby, I can't even see over the railing in the crayon box anymore. I need a break. Your very stubby friend, Blue Crayon. Okay, listen here, kid. You have not once in this past year used me. It's because you think I am a girly color, isn't it? Speaking of which, please tell your little sister I said thank you for using me to color her little princess coloring book. I think she did a fabulous job of staying inside the lines. Now back to us. Could you please use me sometime to color the occasional pink dinosaur or monster or cowboy? Goodness knows they could all use a splash of color. Your unused friend, Pink Crayon. Well, poor Duncan wanted to color. He just wanted to color. And of course, he wanted his crayons to be happy. And that gave him an idea. And he showed his teacher his new picture and gave him an A for coloring and for creativity. And he saw all the possibilities of his crayons.
Ooh, wow, my favorite color.
Why were all the crayons angry? Does anybody want to tell me?
Because kids
want to use them. That's right. Well, Duncan was stereotyping his crayons. I know that's a big new word for you, probably. But what it means is that we look at something or somebody, and just because it looks one way, we think they're like that. A whole other group of people. We sort of put them in a class, even though we don't know anything about them. We see an old person in a wheelchair, and we think they're probably grumpy and crabby. We see a teenager with baggy pants and a backwards ball cap, and we assume that he's probably disrespectful of others. We see a person with lots of tattoos, and we think they're either a gang or using drugs. At the place where my husband used to work, there was this big guy. He had a beard, and he had tattoos, and he had biker clothes with chains and studs. He was big and scary. Well, one night my husband's car wouldn't work. Guess who helped him? His friends from the office or the biker guy? Who do you think helped him?
The biker guy.
The biker guy. Turns out he was just a kind, caring person. But until you got to know him, we all thought he was something else. We shouldn't make the mistake of judging people by the way they look. All of Duncan's crayons had many possibilities beyond the way he was using them. And all the people we meet have great possibilities. We just need to give them a chance. I'm going to give each of you a box of crayons. Please take it home with you. And when you look at it, I hope it will remind you to find out about people before you know them. Do you have a word of prayer, please? Dear Lord, we thank you for these children and their possibilities. I pray that you will guide us as adults to be good examples for them. And I ask that you help us be open to the wisdom of these children. They have much to teach us. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and for this amazing church family. Amen.
Amen.
There you go. You want to pass those down? All right, is any of you young at heart, if you'd like a box of crayons?
Responsive reading for today is number 631 in the back of the book. It is obedience. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments.
For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach.
It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it.
Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it, that we may observe it.
But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it.
This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success.
Has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams.
He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my
and I love him and will disclose myself to him.
Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make him our abode with him.
Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going.
And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I have a prayer request for healing of really bad arthritis, and that they find new meds for treatment. A prayer request from Kathy Sagi to Mona Tagi, who had ankle surgery this past Friday, and prayers that the surgery was successful, and pray for a quick recovery. A prayer request from Kathy for Shirley Marisi. Shirley had a heart attack 2 weeks ago, but also has cancer, which complicates and severely limits the treatment options. Prayer for healing, comfort, faith, and stay strong. A prayer request from Kathy Sagi for Amber Renko. She was just diagnosed with liver cancer. Amber is only in her late 20s. Prayer that the treatments go well and her lifestyle will change for the good. Prayer request for Tina Cognette is having surgery tomorrow, and prayers that the surgeons find out what is causing her severe pain and that she recovers quickly. And finally, a praise request from Kathy Sagi to Tom, Mabe, Tina, and Shawnee. A very big thank you, Shawnee, for taking all the food bank boxes out of church for our Easter service. And to Mabe, Tom, and Tina for getting rid of and organizing boxes from the stage. We had a great time.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Father of us all, we come to you asking for your help. We come to you realizing that all of our troubles can be handled through you if we just take them to you and let you relieve us of the burden. We pray for those who have been named today. We pray for those who are named in our bulletin and in our monthly newsletter. And we pray for those that we raise up to you in silence that you know, even though we have not shared the names publicly. Please help all of those named and unnamed as they face the trials and tribulations that you have deemed they can handle, and help us to get through them all. We pray these things in your name, using the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next song is a screen song, Lord of the Dance.
I'm not afraid to die.
for letting us come together to worship you. And thank you so much for giving us the ultimate gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you today for all those who have participated in this service, for the singing, for the speaking, and for the prayers. These are all dedicated to you, dear God. Thank you for every good and kind and gracious gift you give to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just making sure I was up. So, in early February, I had a whole thing, testimonial, printed out, and I left it at home. But in early February, I got the flu. I mean, I got the flu. It was brutal. And it hurt to move. It hurt to blink. I really thought, this is the end of the world. It can't get any worse than this. And I was confined or quarantined to my own room, and and Henry came in and he says, "Dad, you're going to be okay, and I'm going to pray for you," and he did. And didn't work right away, but I gotta tell you, it was a lot better than what my wife said to me: "Don't wake the kids, clean up your own mess." So, and about a year ago, I was listening to Leonard, and he said something that really struck a chord with me. He said, I think he was talking about a CEO of a major corporation, and one of the greatest things that this person could do was get his kids into heaven. And those of you that know my kids, we all have our work cut out for us. And you know, that's so important. You know, I can't even watch the news with my kids. It's awful. And we're not even going to get into the cartoons that they watch. They're just as bad. But to be able to come here every Sunday and not have to worry about anything and know that we're going to leave better people and a better family, it just means the world to me. Thank you.
Jonathan was supposed to read the scripture today, but he was too embarrassed because he couldn't pronounce some of the words. I told him that I can't even pronounce the words, and Bill and Reverend Pate can't even pronounce the words, so what's the big deal? You know, but he got himself too worked up, so I'm going to read it today anyways. Today's reading comes from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he orders his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. One day a young couple was walking together home from church when the young girl asked, "Who do you say I am?" Being a little uncomfortable with the question because he wasn't sure of what answer he should give, the boy hesitantly said, I think you're my girlfriend." Slightly pleased with the answer, the girl pressed on, "Do you love me?" The boy, bolstered by her response, said, "Yes." Then the girl asked, "Why?" expecting a romantic answer about her beauty or her charm. The boy, remembering the sermon that Reverend Pate just gave, answered, because Jesus told us to love everyone, even our enemies. The boy walked home by himself. Now please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock, and my Redeemer. Dear Holy Spirit, make fast what is true in our hearts, and let the false fall away like sand. Amen. Like the young girl in the story, Jesus asks us soul-searching questions. How we answer them makes all the difference in our relationship with him. It determines how we view the Lord and how we respond to him. In the event described in Matthew, as it is also reported in the other two synoptic gospels, Mark and Luke. However, in Matthew, the narrative is expanded. In all three scriptures, though, Jesus asks the same two questions. And I suggest there may have been a third. Jesus first asked, what do the people say the Lord, say the Son of Man is? There were various responses given by the disciples indicating that the people did not understand who he was. Even the people who knew him as a child didn't know him, for early in his ministry, when Jesus came to his hometown in Nazareth, he began teaching the people in the synagogue. And at first they were amazed. Where did this man get all this wisdom and the miraculous powers? Then the questions began to change. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers and sisters still with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. Everyone, even those closest to Jesus, his followers, his brothers, and even Mary, often wondered about who Jesus was. After hearing the disciples' response to the first question, Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter, often the spokesman for all the disciples, answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus, pleased with Peter's answer, said, blessed are you, Simon, of son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. Of the three synoptic gospels, only Matthew records Peter's longer response when he added, son of the living God. And only in Matthew is Jesus' response to Peter recorded. This passage reveals several things about Jesus and God. The one thing it reveals is that only God the Father, in his own time and of his own will reveal within an individual the true identity of Jesus. Peter's response, Son of Living God, is interesting when we examine it in combination with the location of our story. On the screen, you see Caesarea Philippi. It is at the bottom of the sheer face of Mount Hermon, in the northernmost part of Galilee. Here the Greeks, Romans, and Herod, the secular leader of the Jews, built temples dedicated to Zeus, which is on this side, to Pan, in the middle, and to Caesar Augustus, the Roman emperor. Now, if you look closely behind the temple to Augustus, there is a cave. And that cave, the Greeks thought, was the gates to Hades. Imagine the disciples sitting in this location among all these gods. All these gods that are dedicated to the Greek and Roman gods and dead Roman leaders. And there Peter calls God the living God. It reminds me then Deuteronomy where it is written, there you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or feel. But from there you seek the Lord, the living God. You will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. And Luke writes in Acts Paul's speech to the Athenians, where he says, "Therefore, since we are offspring of God, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent." Peter's statement might also seem to have been prophetic about the death of the pagan gods, because today, nothing is left. Pointer? But the foundations and some niches in the wall. All the Roman and Greek gods, the pagan gods, have passed away, leaving only the living God, our God. Peter's answer, the Messiah, needs to be examined also. For the traditional thinking of the Jewish people was that he wasn't exactly the Messiah. According to Rabbi Stuart Federow, the Messiah is to bring about the political and spiritual redemption of the Jewish people by bringing them back to Israel and restoring Jerusalem to its glory. He will establish a government in Israel that will be the center of all world government, both for the Jews and for the Gentiles. He will rebuild the temple and reestablish its worship. He will restore the religious court system of Israel and establish Jewish law as the global law of the land. At the time, many of the Jewish people believed the Messiah would be a warrior king, that he would come by force and establish Israel as the leader of the world. But they didn't understand Jesus. Even John the Baptist failed to understand who Jesus was, for he sent his followers to ask Jesus, "Are you the one to come, or should we expect another?" What they didn't realize was Jesus' plan of establishing his kingdom on earth according to God's commandments of love. In other words, Jesus would use love, not war, to establish his kingdom on earth. The establishment of the kingdom is the goal of the Messiah. So therefore, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus knows that the only way to truly convert an enemy into an ally is with love. But what about some of the other answers that you might have thought about to "Who do you say I am?" Many of the Jewish people at the time, from the disciples Peter and Nathanael to the Pharisees Nicodemus, called Jesus Rabbi. Rabbi is ascribed to a religious teacher. At the early age of 12, Jesus showed his skill for teaching about God's commandments. His parents, who had mistakenly left him in Jerusalem, went back to find him. And after 3 days, they found him teaching in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking questions. Everyone who heard Jesus talk was amazed at his understanding and his answers. While on earth, Jesus taught about the kingdom of God using sermons like the Sermon on the Mount and in parables. He also taught us about God's will and the commandments of love that we should abide by. Near the end of his ministry, Jesus said, "All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you." Now that Jesus has taken his rightful place, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the Holy Spirit is within us, teaches us the good news. It teaches us through our study of the Word and through the lessons presented by teaching elders. What about our profession of faith, where we state that Jesus is our Savior and our Lord? Jesus records that Jesus John records that Jesus came into the world to save the world through him. And Paul continues in Ephesians saying, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we are dead in transgressions. It is by the grace you are saved. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. This is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good, which God has prepared for us in advance. By saying that Jesus is our Savior, we acknowledge the undeserved gifts that we've received from him of faith and grace that lead to our eternal salvation. And our only response to salvation is to perform good works that God has prepared for us to do. When we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord, we are committing to trust him with our life. We are putting our complete reliance and confidence in him to guide us and provide for our every need. As it says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will direct your paths. Living under a living God implies that we submit in obedience to his will and control. Now, for us in America, we've been brought up with the idea that we need to be self-reliant, that we need to be independent, that we are in control of our lives. This makes it very difficult for us to relinquish our control of our life and turn it over to Jesus Christ and God. However, when we do submit, we receive the gifts of peace and joy, knowing that he is guiding us and providing for our needs. Therefore, we need not worry about tomorrow. Jesus said this in John 15 and 14. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Now, there are other words and other things we can ascribe to Jesus, but I don't have enough time to go through them all. But like the young girl in our opening story, the response to her question, "Who do you say I am?" brought about the second question: do you love me? If we answer yes to this question to God, our actions should reflect our understanding to the first question. The answers to these questions will shape our relationship with Jesus. For example, if we say that Jesus is the Son of the living God, we must turn to him away from man-made our idols of all kinds and turn to the living God with awe and worship. If we say he is the Messiah, our obligation as disciples of Christ is to promote the establishment of his kingdom on earth through love, not war. If we call him Rabbi, we are to be attentive to the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and that through the scripture and sermons based on the scripture and prayer, the Holy Spirit will guide us to God's will. If we say that Jesus is our Savior, we are to persevere in our faith throughout our life. If we say that he is our Lord, then we must be obedient to Jesus in everything we do. Now, Jesus asks us two questions about our relationship with him. How will you answer, "Who do you say I am?" And how will you answer, "Do you love me?" Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, instill in us the proper responses to your questions so that we can be truly recognized as children of God and called by you good and faithful servants. Amen. Please rise and sing with
everyone for being here today, and I thank you for this wonderful second annual Lay Sunday, and I look forward to the third annual next year. I love having a day off, but I love being able to sit among you and be a part of the congregation from that aspect, and to be ministered to. I love being a worship leader, but it's so nice to be able to sit and relax and enjoy and just soak it all in. I just feel refreshed this morning for being a part of that. The Bible says that we are the priesthood of believers, and we believe that in the Presbyterian Church, that we all are ministers. We all have our part to play. It may be from the pulpit, it may be in the choir, it may be serving as a deacon or an elder, or picking up trash around the church, or taking meals to people, or telephone calls, or giving rides, or sending cards, or welcoming someone into our worship service. But I'd like for you to think of yourself as a minister in servanthood of Jesus Christ. As you go from this sanctuary today, go thinking of your response. Who do you say that I am? Can you in your heart say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that He is Savior. I believe that He is the Messiah. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. If you believe that, then proclaim it to the world in love, in relationship with other people. Don't be afraid. Don't be timid. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Go out into the world and love. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.